Now, as the Mole's well-read read, I'm going to share with you an edited version of an interesting article by Middle East scholar Soumaya Ghanouchi, who argues that the Jeffrey Epstein story provides a behind-the-scenes look at global elites and their machinations. The article is titled, "Epstein Saga Exposes Israel's Iron Grip on U.S. Power." It was originally published in Middle East Eye on November 20. Ghanouchi writes, "The Epstein leaks have reopened a door many in Washington hoped would remain sealed. Not the door of gossip, rather the door that leads into the machinery of American power. These leaks expose an unholy triangle of money, politics, and sex, whose central thread leads to a foreign influence network that has learned to govern the world's most powerful nation through seduction, dependence, and capture. This is not a conspiracy theory. It is not an anti-Semitic delusion. It is what the documents show and what Washington's behavior confirms. They show, firstly, that Epstein was never simply a brilliant fraud. He was a facade, the social face of an intelligence apparatus designed to corrupt, compromise, and control. His network was not accidental. His closest confidant, Ghislaine Maxwell, was the daughter of Robert Maxwell, long reported to have worked closely with Israeli intelligence. His investments flowed into ventures led by Ehud Barak, the former Israeli prime minister. Barak headed Carbine, an Israeli security tech firm in which Epstein quietly placed funds. Investigations by DropSite make the picture even clearer. Epstein was not just socially adjacent to Israeli intelligence. He was operationally useful. The outlet's reporting reveals that Epstein helped broker a security agreement between Israel and Mongolia, tried to establish a back channel to Russia during the Syria war, and facilitated a security deal between Israel and Cote d'Ivoire. These were not social favors. They were state-level services. The leaks also lay bare something even darker, the mindset of the American elites who moved through Epstein's world, men who treated him not as a danger nor even a pariah, but as a peer, a gatekeeper, a magnet. They sought him out because he stood at the crossroads of wealth, intelligence, and elite indulgence. To be noticed by him was to be noticed by the network behind him. To please him was to be invited into a world where consequences evaporated. Epstein became the public face of a quiet, sprawling intelligence octopus. Elites did not stumble into his orbit by accident. They pursued it. They recognized what he could offer: immunity, access, indulgence, and the patronage of a foreign lobby that had perfected the art of capturing nations by feeding the appetites of their rulers. And it was precisely this moral rot, this elite hunger for vice without consequences, that made them easy to control. A compromised man is a manageable man. A guilty man is an obedient man. Epstein's world became a factory of leverage, a catalog of weakness, a marketplace of blackmail. But Epstein was only one instrument. There was also the daylight arm, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC. If Epstein was the covert, psychological, compromising tool of influence, APAC was the public, financial, legislative one. One captured the elite through their appetites. The other captured Congress through money. One seduced, the other purchased. Together they formed the shadow and surface of the same structure. Yet, something is shifting in the American political landscape. The lobby's aura of inevitability is cracking. APAC's annual congressional trips are collapsing. In 2023, a total of 24 first-term Democrats attended. This year, only 11 out of 33 went. Voters, especially young and Democratic-leaning blocs, are rejecting candidates backed by pro-Israel lobbying groups. Polls from the Arab American Institute show that such endorsements are now more likely to cost votes than bring them. Pressure is mounting from every direction. Broadcasters and interviews now challenge politicians live on air, puncturing the old aura of untouchability. You can see it in Senator Cory Booker squirming when asked whether Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is a war criminal. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom repeating, "Interesting," when the subject of AIPAC is broached. And in Pennsylvania, Governor Josh Shapiro being pressed on whether the lobby distorts American policy. As one progressive Jewish commentator put it, they don't fear AIPAC, they fear being associated with AIPAC. But here lies the paradox. The pro-Israel lobby's domestic legitimacy might be collapsing, yet its grip on foreign policy remains intact. Influence does not disappear simply because it becomes unpopular. Public opinion can shift rapidly. The machinery of power does not. And so, even as Democratic politicians distance themselves, U.S. foreign policy remains bent to Israeli priorities. No empire in history has subordinated its grand strategy to the anxieties of a much smaller state, except an empire whose elites are compromised, corrupted, and controlled. Internally, democracy has decayed. Elections are auctions. Representatives are assets. Public opinion is shaped by media ecosystems funded by the same networks that bankroll political careers. Democracy has become a performance staged by a political class whose private lives make them permanently vulnerable. This is the true meaning of the Epstein leaks. They expose not a single predator, but a system built on moral decay, foreign influence, intelligence engineering, and elite complicity. Epstein was not an anomaly. He was the model. Trump remains its clearest illustration, a man who wrapped himself in patriotism while tethered to foreign influence and moral ruin. And so the U.S. confronts a question that can no longer be buried. Who governs the country? Its elected officials or the foreign network that owns their secrets, funds their campaigns, and exploits their corruption? How can a nation claim sovereignty when its leaders are so easily compromised? How can a republic claim legitimacy when its elites are so cheaply bought? How can a superpower lead the world when it cannot even govern itself? When does the U.S. insist, not in slogans, but in action, that its government belongs to its people, not to Tel Aviv?
Oh, Santa, I've been waiting on you.
That's funny, kid, because I've been coming for you.
Oh, Santa, I've been killing just for fun.
Well, the party's over, kid, because I got a bullet in my gun.
A bullet in your what?